Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, let's give our COVID-19 update. What is the big news with the vaccines?
Well, the big news is that they're going to be suspending the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Suspending it altogether?
They're going to be actually suspending it and then looking at the whole thing. They suspended several locations, four of them. Now, they're not quite sure if it's all the Johnson & Johnson or if it was just certain batches. But there's definitely a situation where you're getting blood clots, especially in women from the ages of 18 to 45, which has resulted in some direct deaths and then several hospitalizations associated with it.
So this is with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is just one shot. These are some of the results of that vaccine.
Yeah, and when they were testing out the vaccine earlier, that it actually had fewer reactions.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that the Johnson & Johnson is being made in the same facility as the AstraZeneca vaccine, which isn't approved in the United States yet. And that particular vaccine was also having clots issues. Now, one of the things is that they had found is that they had accidentally mixed some of the AstraZeneca in with the Johnson & Johnson, that they had made the mixing.
I remember you talking about that.
Right. Yeah. And so they had put a halt on it, said that they had caught everything, but it was certain sites that the Johnson & Johnson was causing the blood clots, which we know that AstraZeneca. So I'm wondering if some of the AstraZeneca actually did get out within the Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. It might be causing the problem. That's just one theory along those lines.
So which vaccine is the safest?
Well, right now, do not get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely some questions about it. And the blood clotting is actually interesting because it's actually a low platelet that seems to kick it off. And so how you treat it, it's a very confusing, different way of actually dealing with it. So definitely not the Johnson & Johnson. They're also watching the number of reactions that occur between the Pfizer and the Moderna. And they have found that the Pfizer has about 15% less adverse reactions than the Moderna.
Pfizer does.
Pfizer. So Pfizer seems to be, at this point, the safest vaccination that you can get.
Mm-hmm. And that's two shots?
Two shots.
Okay. So is there censorship happening with vaccine information?
Oh, boy. Is there ever. Mm. Matter of fact, there's 12 attorney generals who have put out that there needs to be more censorship on the vaccinations. All Democratic attorney generals, mm-hmm, in 12 different states, more of the liberal states, that there needs to be more censorship, less freedom of information on the vaccinations. So some of the censorship that I've seen is actually from peer-reviewed scientific studies. And these are oftentimes, some of the censorship that I've actually seen is between physicians who are discussing different types of issues that are surrounding the vaccination. So the censorship has gotten to a level where they're actually even censoring scientific information among scientists.
Mm.
And when we have freedom of information, I mean, one of the things a population should be able to do is to have the information on what's safe and what's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this feeling that no matter what the situation, there is to be absolutely no questioning on the vaccinations or on the prescribed types of treatments that are being presented. And they say all in the name of science, but that's not how science works. Science works from the free exchange of information, the free exchange of ideas, and then peer-reviewed studies to actually find out what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Truth does not matter anymore with the whole censorship. It's what is the party line, which sounds quite a bit like Communist China. So it's very disgusting. The scientists are very upset about it. This is no longer, with the state attorney generals even asking for more censorship. Mm. This has really gotten completely out of hand.
And you said this is 12?
12 Democratic attorney generals.
Generals.
Yeah, Michigan, New York, California, all the Washington, Oregon, all the usual types of states.
And why would they want more censorship?
They said that people are starting to question whether they should get the vaccination or not, mm-hmm. where it's actually safe. Mm-hmm. But I think that people deserve to have a clear picture of what's going on. Not that we're, you know, I mean, you shouldn't have alarm. I mean, we're just talking about basic facts. Facts that some of the censorship was actually quotes from this, actually just going through the CDC information. And they were censoring the CDC information. I mean, it's just like, okay, we've gotten completely out of hand here.
Sometimes I feel like they don't think we're smart enough to make a decision. You know, correct. They have to make it for us.
This is a decision that should be made for us. And there should be absolutely no questioning among scientists and research. Mm-hmm. It's decided, and we don't want any facts or disagreements to occur. Mm-hmm. And who decides that this is the truth? I mean, you know, you sit there and we wonder if this is America with First Amendment rights anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it isn't. It isn't America, and it is no longer First Amendment rights and just reasonableness. Mm-hmm. It's gotten way out of hand.
So who's at risk with the vaccines?
Well, the people that are at risk with the Johnson & Johnson is women 18 to 45. Now, one of the things that they are finding is that women who are pregnant are actually at a higher risk. Mm. So that's something to be very aware of. Also, the things with the vaccinations that you need to be aware of is you should make sure that you do not have the COVID virus when you get the vaccination, because that can really be something that causes a severe reaction on your system. Mm-hmm. So you need to be COVID-free. You shouldn't really get the vaccination while you're pregnant. There's too many reactions that people are getting. You also, if you have allergies, one of the things that happened recently with a CNN employee who actually was quite going into big depth about you know, how excited they were to get the vaccination, all those types of things, had a severe peanut allergy, took an EpiPen with him just to make sure, because they're saying that people with allergies, and got the vaccination and then actually died in a very short amount of time. And the EpiPen mm-hmm. wasn't enough. They're actually advising people who have severe allergies to make sure that they only go to a facility where they have the capability of doing emergency type of resuscitation.
So the EpiPen was used and it didn't even...
It still wasn't strong enough.
Wow.
So there are some, even within the Pfizer, there are some reactions that they haven't been able to identify. Mm-hmm. There's been people with shellfish, peanut. If you have a severe allergic type of situation, you need to go to some place where they can actually make sure that they have the proper facilities to give you immediate care, if that is the situation. If you don't have severe allergies, it doesn't seem to be as much of a risk. But I still would not advise women who are pregnant to get this, because there does seem to be a much higher risk in that type of situation. And then, of course, children. I mean, they're starting the studies on children. And, you know, the rate of, I'm really not convinced that that's actually worth it, mm-hmm. because they have such a low reactivity to the COVID-19. You always have to look at risk versus a reward. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are many, many people who are very high risk. Oh, one of the interesting things, though, is the people who have the least amount of reactions on this are people 65 and older.
The least amount
of reactions to the vaccinations. Vaccine. They're actually doing the best. And of course, those are the people who really need to have it.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Yeah,
why is that?
Well, it's just the immune response. They don't have the immune response like younger people do.
Okay.
So it's, and again, women 18 to 45 are actually seem to be more at risk for having reactions than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Johnson & Johnson was causing
right.
blood clots.
Right, and mm-hmm. 18 to 45-year-old women don't have a whole lot of risk with the COVID. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we need to be thinking about those types of things, not just being dogmatic. Mm-hmm. We need to look at these types of things and make rational decisions. Obviously, the COVID-19 is very, very dangerous for quite a few people. And actually, the people who are actually it is most dangerous for seem to be doing great with the vaccination. So my opinion is let's just get those done.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I'm sure the attorney, some attorney general is going to want to censor me, but we'll just take it from there.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk more on the COVID-19 update and what's happening with the new variants. Very important stuff. We'll be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
One of the chiropractic friends who is a soft tissue expert, his textbook, Soft Tissue Therapy, is the one used in medical schools, heavily used as sort of the Bible for soft tissue work. And as soon as he saw rapid release, he switched all of his treatments over to the rapid release because it's much easier on the doctor. You get quicker results, less painful, much better compliance. So when people would be coming in for the Grasson, they would be going, I like the results, but I don't know if I really want to do that. Whereas with rapid release, they come running in and really want that done.
Cause yeah, everybody's they ask for it.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we got you cured, but can I have it again anyway?
Well, many patients have bought them.
It's an amazing device and incredible results. It's a great way to get your body relaxed and get those aches and pains out of your system.
As you're using the rapid release, you can see people go into that deep breathing and going more into that, what we call the parasympathetic mode or the rest and digest.
Really switches and has a huge effect on the nervous system.
And the sessions aren't long. You just do a few minutes in each area.
One of the patients recently with a massage therapist, as she was doing a massage on him, she's going, boy, I'm just having trouble really getting this released. I walked out, got the rapid release, and she did it, and the patient was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And she was saying, you know, I got to use that more. To get those problem areas, it works so much quicker, so much easier. It just takes off all the stress of me trying to really work that out. And it's easier on the patient, too.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the Indy A-List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row. And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048.
Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're continuing our discussion on the COVID-19 update because there's a lot to cover. Talked about the vaccine. What's happening, Dr. Prather, with the variants?
The variants are definitely growing in the United States. The British one is, I would say, is eventually going to be the most common one. Mm. So it's taking over. The South African one is also here. And then to a smaller extent, the Brazilian.
Okay.
Okay.
And any of those that you're real concerned about?
I'm much more concerned about the Brazilian than any others.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to have the greatest resistance to the vaccination and has the highest death rate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier to actually spread.
So that's arrived here in the United States?
It has arrived. It's a very small percentage at this point. Mm-hmm. The British one seems to be the most common one. It's still, the British one has a more tendency to actually hit younger people than the one that
Well, that's what I'm hearing from people that are working in hospitals and COVID units. It seems to be the younger people now are being more affected.
Yeah, and that is because it's the British variant that seems to be hitting along those lines.
Okay.
So these variants are much more common, can actually hit the younger people. The British does seem to be responsive to the vaccination. The South African is questionable, but the Brazilian one absolutely is resistant to it.
Resistant to the vaccine.
Yeah, so they'll, if the Brazilian one becomes real common, they will have to come out with a new vaccination for that.
Mm-hmm. Have they, is there still travel to Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of areas that are still has a lot of restriction for travel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, always be sure if you're planning on traveling somewhere that you know what the rules are.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of places that the United States is actually doing much better than the rest of the world.
As far as what?
The number of transmissions and also the death rate.
Okay.
So the number of transmissions is actually increasing because of the British variant. But because it's also hitting younger people and not quite as many of the older people, there's less deaths.
Deaths, okay.
So the death rate still continues to decline, which is a great thing. You know, it's still, we still got a long ways to go before we're out of the woods. Mm-hmm. And who knows where these variants are going. So I hate to be a Debbie Downer, especially when everything's
being a Debbie Downer.
I am. especially when everything's looking pretty good right now. And, you know, the governor here took off the mandate for the masks, which we were all very excited about.
Indiana.
So, you know, but, you know, we still need to be aware of what's going on and you know, not think that this is over yet.
But it was nice. We went for a walk, and we've been walking, and you can hear, you know, teams playing soccer and a track meet.
Almost like it's like life has returned to
normal.
We actually have life. Yeah,
I'm gonna say that normal. Yeah. What's that word? Well, let's talk about something called RSV. It's a virus.
Would you like me to say?
Yes, I would like.
Okay.
Because I keep wanting to say sphincter, and it's
respiratory syncytial virus.
Syncytial. Okay.
Not sphincters. Syncytial.
So, what is RSV? I'm just calling it RSV.
Well, it is a RNA virus. Most people, when they get it, they basically are talking about the cold.
And we're talking about this because, you know, people are getting symptoms thinking it's COVID-19. They get tested. They don't have COVID-19.
Right.
But a lot of times they have this virus.
Well, it's interesting because this virus has a seasonal attribute to it. So viruses come and go. Most of the time, whenever we're starting out with the viruses, the adenovirus kind of comes, then usually the flu, and then we wind up with coronaviruses. That's a typical type of a flu pattern. Before COVID. Now, with the RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, it hits in September to November is one time, then December to February, and then right now from April to May is the other time. And the reason that we're bringing it up is because it's hitting big time. So the CDC says that it's really starting to hit pretty strong. It was pretty strong in November. A lot of people were getting it at that point. But I've just recently had five patients who've come down with this, you know, that were hit pretty hard, you know, that they had come in and said, ooh, you know, do I have COVID? Got tested, was negative. But then they showed up that they had the respiratory syncytial virus. And it can be a really, really nasty type of virus. And we're seeing that it's pretty severe symptoms at this point. So one of the things I wanted to do was kind of put it out there to the public, hey, this is hitting right now as we speak, and it might be something that you're dealing with and that you need to take some precautions with it.
Mm-hmm. So how common is it?
Well, like I said, it's the most common type of a cold that actually goes out there. There are 2.1 million outpatient visits per year for the RSV for children 5 years and younger.
Well, I've never heard of RSV.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm kind of talking about it. Because my patients were like, a what? And I'm like, okay, then I need to do a little radio program on this.
Mm-hmm.
There are 58,000 hospitalizations per year for children under 5 years old with this. So it can be very serious. There's 177,000 hospitalizations for the RSV virus for people 65 years and older on a yearly basis. And there's 14,000 deaths for people 65 years and older from this particular virus. Mm. So it's not as great as usually the flu. The flu average is about 50,000 per year. Although this year, you could count the number of deaths on your hands because it was so low.
Mm-hmm.
So what we saw with this whole COVID is it pretty much wiped out the flu.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that it just was being counted as COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It really did wipe out the flu because as they tested, they just weren't finding it. But the respiratory syncytial virus is growing strong. It doesn't seem to be affected by the flu. As a matter of fact, from what I've seen, that it's actually a little stronger than normal.
Hmm.
Especially at this time.
Didn't you say like viruses fight?
They fight each other. They actually compete for sites.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that you need to be aware of. Basically, you start out, with the symptoms of a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Cough eventually comes into a fever, and then you have to be careful when it starts to go into wheezing, because what it does is it gets into the when you get the flu, it's usually a lower respiratory type of infection, which is more dangerous. You get an upper respiratory infection with this. So it can hit the upper portion of the lungs and actually cause a viral pneumonia. And it can go into a bacterial pneumonia, which becomes dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to take this lightly. And you need to take the necessary precautions to get this under control.
So who's at risk for it?
Well, the main people that are at risk are babies.
Mm-hmm.
Children under 5 years old, especially those under two. The main thing that that is a problem, and the children who do well with it are the ones that are breastfed.
Okay.
So the ones that if the child is not breastfed, their chances of actually coming down with this are incredibly higher, and with much less resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So non-breastfed babies are the most likely to come down with a problem. And then people over 65 years and older. The reason that people 65 years and older are actually more at risk is because they're usually deficient on vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin C. As you get older, the nutritional deficiencies actually show up. Actually become much more prevalent. The reason, if you are someone who, just because you're older, doesn't mean that your immune system is not going to work as well.
Right.
It's how well you take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You just need a lot more work. It's like, you can
older
have
an older car.
Yeah, you can have an older car that runs just great if you took care of it.
Uh-huh.
If you're not taking care of it,
oil changes.
Yeah, they start to wear out.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with older people. You can be as healthy as a horse if you're older, if you're making sure your vitamin D levels are good, vitamin A levels, that you've got everything working right, your immune system's going to be fine. But older people are also at risk, also people with immune compromise. So if you're taking, if you are on autoimmune pharmaceuticals that weaken your immune system, RSV can be actually very dangerous. If you are on chemo, radiation, cancer treatments, then yes, RSV can actually be dangerous. So those are the people who actually can be in trouble.
Okay. Well, when we come back, more on RSV virus that's happening right now. And a lot of people are thinking they have COVID. They get tested. It's negative, but they're feeling awful.
Correct.
Yeah, they can go into pneumonia.
You can.
Okay, well, we'll be right back.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
But he was a great brain surgeon. We learn later on that he's like the best. I don't know how they determine the best brain surgeon. You know, maybe there's a competition. America's Got Tumors. Isn't it enough that someone's a brain surgeon? None of us could even get in med school. A brain surgeon goes to medical school, afterwards specializes in neurology, after that specializes in surgery of the brain, and we're like, yeah, but are they any good? Yeah, they're a brain surgeon. You know what they do with the bad brain surgeons? They don't let them become brain surgeons.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
How critical has chiropractic been to your patients' health issues?
It really is one of the major things that has made a difference. Many of them have said, you know, I've tried everything. I've been to Mayo, Johns Hopkins, Cleveland, but I'm not getting where I need to be. And when we combine the structural care along with the functional, then we can really break through on what's going on in the patient. If you're making corrections just on the structural, the functional is going to throw the structure out. If you're making corrections on the functional, the structure is going to throw it out. You have to combine the structure function care to be able to get the really amazing results. And that's why we combine structure function within our office to get a higher level of care and a higher level of results. And that's what really separates us.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
When we're talking about RSV, I want to conquer this. Respiratory syncytial virus. Did I do it?
Syncytial.
Syncytial.
Yeah, that's syncytial. Syncytial.
All right. And you were saying at break, it used to be called the chimpanzee virus.
Why? Chimpanzee virus, that was what they called it because they found it in a chimpanzee in 1956. But the you know, when you sit there and say to your patients that you have the chimpanzee virus, they might take the offense to that. What did you call me?
It would be a lot easier to pronounce.
Yes. So they just say, you got RSV virus. You got a cold. And they go, oh, okay. But it's actually much more, it's a lot more serious than just a cold.
Right. So is RSV contagious?
Extremely contagious. It's an RNA virus. It's actually more contagious than the COVID. So it can be spread very easily through droplets. So the same types of things that spread the COVID is also things we need to be aware of with the RSV. Mm-hmm. You know, you cough, you sneeze, that spreads it all over the place. It does reside on surfaces, so having things sprayed down is a very important type of thing, mm-hmm. making sure things that are clean. It does like to kind of be there in your mask, so make sure that you wash your mask every day. Mm-hmm. And you should not be touching your face a whole lot. And unfortunately, people use their hands to adjust their mask all day long.
Mm-hmm.
matter of fact, if you have a mask on, you're going to touch your face 10 times more than if you never had a mask on.
10 times more. Wow.
10 times more is what they found. Mm-hmm. So if you can remind yourself, don't touch your mask. If you are in a hospital settings, and you know that you're masked up and you touch your mask, you're supposed to take off the mask, throw it away, and put on a different one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how that works. So people that are constantly adjusting their mask are defeating the entire purpose on why they're wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. So what is the incubation period for RSV?
Well, from when you have been exposed to it, mm-hmm. and that's what the incubation means, until you actually start to get into it is about 4 to 6 days.
4 to 6 days, okay.
So if you start to show signs, it was probably something that started about 4 to 6 days ago.
And what is the contagious period for RSV?
Once your symptoms stop, it's 5 to 8 days after your symptoms have stopped. You're still contagious. Mm. So that's sort of how all that goes along. And the main thing that you need to be aware of is this is going around all over the place. You need to be aware of babies,
mm-hmm.
Younger children, because they don't really have their immune systems up to par, and older people and people who are immune compromised. So being aware of that and going accordingly is a very important type of thing.
And I believe you went over the symptoms for RSV. Anything yes. you wanted to add to that?
Well, I mean, the main thing that you need to be aware of is if you start to get some wheezing, you need to go into your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that is, you know, people are kind of, oh, it wasn't COVID, you know, I don't need to do anything about it. You can go into pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
So, once it goes down into the lungs, you need to take it seriously and take care of yourself at that point.
Yeah. We talked about the spread of RSV. Anything more on that? You know, how does RSV spread?
Yeah, you know, the whole thing is the best ways to kind of keep the RSV under control is hand washing.
Mm-hmm.
Is a very important aspect along those lines. Make sure that your cough and sneeze are covered.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your mask.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you should consider your mask more like underwear. You know, you shouldn't be changing.
What do you mean?
You shouldn't be wearing it the next day.
Uh-huh.
And you should actually be changing it a lot more than, you know, if you touch your face with your mask, you know, the mask isn't good anymore. I mean, that's basically how
it goes. I've seen some funny mask made out of underwear.
You know, there's some pretty fun ones. That keeps you 6 feet away.
Yeah.
People will avoid you all over the place.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about what is the medical care for RSV?
Well, there isn't any.
Okay.
It's something that really doesn't. Yeah, it's they've tried to make vaccinations for it, but RNAs are actually very, very difficult. Really, the COVID is the first RNA-based vaccination along those lines. Mm. So we'll see if that's successful.
Why are they difficult?
it's harder to kind of pin down. Mm-hmm. So bacteria are actually easier, you know, as you do like whooping cough, things like that.
Yeah.
It's easy to make a vaccination along those lines. You can actually put it in there. Mm-hmm. Measles actually was easier. But the difficulty has been the RNA viruses, coronaviruses, the RSV virus. All those are rather difficult to make one. So if this, one thing that we need to recognize is the vaccinations have been designated as experimental. Mm-hmm. They're not approved yet.
Which vaccine?
The COVID vaccinations.
Has not been approved.
They are experimental. Mm-hmm. They're experimental. They've been given special permission to go on ahead. It's going to be 2 years before we really know if it works or not.
And, you know, I just hear people, it's almost like their savior.
Well, I mean, they look at you know, we're excited and hopefully it all works. Mm-hmm. But we don't know for 2 years whether mm-hmm. it really does or not, or whether this is really... So it's experimental. And, you know, the whole thing of sitting there and making passports and, like, you know, you're... This is an experimental type of thing. Mm-hmm. This is not something that you should be absolutely requiring people. You should not require people to do experimental procedures. I'm sorry. Hopefully we're all praying that it is everything that we hoped it would be. Mm-hmm. You know, we just need to be realistic about it and know what the truth is.
So how can we prevent getting RSV? I know one thing, you know, you're keeping your immune system up, and that's what we do at the Prather practice.
Of course. No, I mean, there's just reasonable types of things. Mm-hmm. You know, hand washing, doing all the different types of things along those lines, avoiding people who are sick, mm-hmm. Taking care of ourselves, sleeping.
Getting some good sleep.
Making mm-hmm. sure that we're not worn out. Mm-hmm. Don't go out and party and get drunk and put extra stressors on your body. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is a huge problem. Sugar. Sugar weakens our immune system because what it does is it drains the vitamins and minerals that we need to be able to keep our immune system up. Mm-hmm. Don't get stressed.
Yeah, right.
Stress. Stress is really bad for the immune system. Get plenty of oxygen. Mm-hmm. You know, oxygenation is good. Sunlight is absolutely wonderful for fighting viruses and infections. Mm-hmm. Getting outside. Mm-hmm. Getting outside is the safest place you could possibly be. I mean, one of the things I remember with the COVID that they closed down the beaches, and it's like plenty of sunshine, you know, fresh air coming in. That's a great place because it's harder to get, you know, spreads and everything like that, as long as you're not kissing everyone.
Right. What, on the beach?
On the beach. you know, and of course, college students, I mean, that actually might be a problem, so... you know, I can understand maybe closing it down for college students. But, you know, all those different types of things, just common sense that your mom told you to do, mm-hmm. Are great things to do. But there's actually quite a few other different things that can be done, too.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how to boost the immune system and how structure function care can assist in preventing RSV. We'll be right back.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what is diathermy?
The way that we like to describe it to people is it's a large coiled magnet that produces a shortwave beam that goes into the body. Men with prostate infections, prostatitis, get up and say, oh, wow,
I'm not in pain anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have that irritation. So in chronic types of different types of infections, sinus infections, ear infections, lung infections, for the bladder infections, kidney infections, we can utilize it on that. One of the things that is really, really important for diathermy and underutilized is increasing the circulation. And we've had patients who were scheduled to have amputations of toes, even feet, because of the loss of circulation due to diabetic neuropathy. Mm-hmm. And we were able to have a series of diathermy treatments, usually about 24. If you set up the diathermy, have the right settings, which we know and understand, you don't have to go through the amputations that are involved. That's one thing that isn't put out there as it should be, which was very frustrating. You know, it's just like this gentleman said, you know, I was scheduled to have my foot cut off. Mm-hmm. And 24 sessions with the diathermy, and the vascular surgeon says, I've got better circulation than he did.
Did he tell him about the diathermy unit?
He did. And the guy said, well, I'd never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be effective. And that was one of the old things that the diathermy unit was used for, was for the diabetic neuropathy with the loss of circulation down into the feet. So if someone's scheduled to have their toes cut off or foot cut off, the diathermy is something that definitely should be looked at. It's been effective on everyone so far.
And you talked about 24 sessions, but when you look at different patients, the amount of sessions would be different for different issues that they have, correct?
It can be. Otitis media, you see an immediate difference just that day. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the people with loss of circulation can tell a big difference right away. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, "Well, I've got pink toes now. I haven't had pink toes in a long time." Mm-hmm. And not only just for the circulation, but for those who have diabetic neuropathy, the diathermy is extremely, extremely beneficial.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. It's a beautiful day. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking about respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. See, I said it really fast that time.
You did really well. That sounded professional.
Thank you. Very interesting, you know, you're finding... coming
into
the office.
A lot of people are getting it, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're finding young people actually winding up with pneumonia in it. So, mm-hmm. you know, you know, in other words, it made me very aware and said, you know, I was talking to patients about it and they'd never heard of it. So whenever I have situations like that, I say, radio program.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people who
aren't
aware of it.
And those young people out there, really take care of yourselves.
Right.
You know, right now.
Do not go out and party.
Mm-hmm.
You
get
know,
plenty of rest.
Get your rest.
Eat well, but yeah.
Mama said so.
This mama said so. So let's talk about, you know, how to boost the immune system.
Absolutely.
And what we do at the Prather Practice.
Well, I mean, what we do is what's called structure function care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we talk about that for those who aren't aware of what is involved with that. But you have disease care, which structure function care does not treat diseases. Diseases are a set of symptoms, and if you're going to be working along those lines, pharmaceuticals or drugs are how you treat diseases. What structure function care does is it boosts the health of the individual by balancing out the system into something what's called homeostasis. The more that the body is in homeostasis, the healthier the body is, and the resistance of the body increases with a greater homeostasis. So really, when you're talking about the hero of the body, that really treats things is the immune system. And the healthier you are, the healthier your immune system is. The healthier your immune system, the greater your resistance. The easier you're going to be able to fight off infections. Mm-hmm. So when you are out of balance, your immune system drops, and you are more susceptible to the infections that can hit you. So how do you approach this?
Yeah.
What are the methods that you can do to improve your system?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the million-dollar question.
All right. Do you have the million-dollar answer?
I do. There's actually quite a few different ways of doing it.
Okay, let's talk about that.
All right. One of my favorites is chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, how does chiropractic work? You know, why does that make a difference?
Yeah.
But, well, what
your immune system, right?
Right. Really what you're doing is you're improving the nervous system. And the nervous system controls everything. So if your nervous system is not working up to par, it will affect the immune system. I mean, I have people who are feeling actually sick, fever, backed up ears, sore throat, and they come in and get a chiropractic adjustment, and they actually feel better right there at the time. It's like, wow, this is really weird. I was feeling pretty sick, and all of a sudden I'm feeling much, much better. Mm-hmm. You know, I can really tell a difference.
And that's because of the alignment is opening up and helping the nervous system.
To function better, and then the nervous system starts to take over and starts to really help the body to work. I know when my Alice is out, which is the, I usually wind up getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Right.
And when I put it back in, all of a sudden I get better.
Mm-hmm.
And people have talked about that we've got people coming from all over the United States. Just had a gentleman from Ohio who had been sick for several years. And we did a few different types of things, started him on some homeopathic, some other different types of things. And he was feeling somewhat better, but as soon as he got adjusted, he came in the next day and he says, I feel like a new man. I have not felt this good in years. And, you know, my fatigue, the chronic types of pains that I have, is just gone.
Mm.
And he said that that's just absolutely amazing. And the patients that we have, they know when they're out of adjustment because they start to feel bad.
Right.
And they know when they're back in, they all of a sudden start to feel better.
They know when to come back in, right?
Right.
Yeah. So chiropractic can help. Acupuncture.
Absolutely love acupuncture. Mm-hmm. Acupuncture reduces inflammation, pain. You can actually, we actually have people who have fevers. We put acupuncture needles in, and the fever will actually subside.
Mm.
So acupuncture really can do a world of help and really boost how the whole body works. And again, what you're doing is you're balancing out the system, whereas chiropractic is working with the nervous system. Acupuncture works with the electromagnetic energy of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the electromagnetic energy is what surrounds the cells, helps the cells to work right. It is involved with healing. We can have, if you have a deep cut, you can put acupuncture needles, the cut will heal twice as fast without any scar tissue. If you have an old scar, we have people who have old surgical scars that don't look horrible.
Mm-hmm.
We put needles in it, and the scar starts to disappear.
Mm.
So you can actually clear that up. But it's just amazing what acupuncture can do.
Let's talk about lymphatic drainage.
Lymph system. That is an immediate game changer when it comes to infections.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the backup of the lymph system that really makes virals be able to grow, and also for bacterial infections to start up. So we have people who have the sore throats.
Mm-hmm.
And we go up there, and one of the adjustments we do is a eustachian tube adjustment, which is working purely on the lymphatic tissue. Because as we actually pop that open, with the adjustment, you can actually hear it pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to get drainage, and all of a sudden that sore throat will go away immediately.
Yeah.
I
know, if I feel any backup, I have you adjust that, and yeah, you feel the drainage right away. And
sure.
It prevents you from getting sick.
It does. You really get sick because of a backup of the lymphatic tissue. We've had many of people who came in, and they had been sick for even years. Mm-hmm. And we sit there and we do lymphatic drainage on the individuals. As we sit, it's really easy to tell that your lymph system. Well, it's easy to tell when you're out of adjustment on chiropractic. We poke on people and they say ow ow ow. We adjust them and it doesn't hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. Acupuncture is the same way. People are swollen, things are off, and we do the acupuncture. It's immediate relief. With the lymphatic drainage, you sit there, you go in there, palpate the lymphatic system, and it's all backed up, and it's got a world of pain. And as we drain that, all of a sudden the pain is completely gone. We had a young lady recently who had like golf balls underneath her arms.
And that was lymph backup.
Lymphatic backup, and it was a combination of the person had Epstein-Barr virus, and then got COVID-19. And after they had gotten this, they had golf balls underneath their arms, and they couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So we started them on some products, did some lymphatic drainage, and they feel like a new person. Mm-hmm. And all those golf balls are gone. Mm-hmm. And they had been talking to, because they had been suffering with this for about 8 months, and talking to their medical doctors and things about that, and said, what about this underneath there? They go underneath there and said, yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And they sit there and said, well, you know, what are we going to do about it? And they said, well, I don't know. And so they came into us, and we sit there and said, well, we know how to get that drained. Mm-hmm. And actually got it down that day.
Wow.
And with the immediate
results.
That's
pretty results, large. I mean, golf ball size.
It was actually golf ball sized.
Yeah. And if it would have stayed, what would that would have developed into?
Well, it's just like if you have, you want to think about it like you got a creek running through your backyard. Mm-hmm. And you got a creek that's moving real fast and flowing. You got clear, clean water. Now, if it gets stagnant, what happens? It gets pretty gunky.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that start growing in there. It's the same way with your lymphatic tissue. Mm-hmm. You sit there and it's stagnant, it's not moving, mm-hmm. you're going to grow viruses, you're going to grow bacteria, things are going to be a mess.
Right.
You get it moving, it's going to clean everything out, you're going to feel like $1 million.
Okay. And we got a couple minutes because I want to make sure our time goes so fast to cover herbs, vitamins, and minerals.
Okay. Well, I mean, when you're talking about herbs, echinacea is one of the things that moves the lymphatic tissue. Mm-hmm. Myrrh, there's a ton of different types of products that can really boost the immune system. Oregano, barberry, golden seal, the list goes on. And very, very effective too. And what they do is they don't fight the virus or the bacteria. What they do is they boost the immune system.
Yeah.
You've got vitamin D, you've got vitamin A, vitamin C. All of those things are critical for your immune system and will not work if you do not have the proper vitamins in there. You need the minerals, iodine, zinc. Zinc is absolutely critical. We keep talking about for viral infections. Mm-hmm. But you have to know what the levels are to be able to start taking it. So being able to have that tested out, know which ones that you need is absolutely critical to be able to
and
get that.
And haven't you talked about like the loss of smell is...
Is a zinc deficiency. Mm-hmm. And when you have viral infections and your body's overloaded with those viral infections, you're going to have a loss of sense of taste and smell. Mm-hmm. Means that you need zinc and your body's crying out for it.
And then let's talk about diathermy, very helpful.
Diathermy is it's a big magnet. And mm-hmm. so it's another way to move the lymphatic tissue. Mm-hmm. So it opens up circulation and it also opens up the lymphatic tissue. So it just kind of keeps that, it's a physiotherapy type of device, really helps to make that move.
And homeopathy?
Homeopathy is our secret weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is we actually have the homeopathics designed specifically called something called NOSODs for every single infection. We can make one up and that stimulates the immune system and makes a dramatic difference on how the body responds. Mm-hmm. And it's all safe.
Right.
That's the other nice thing. If it's not safe, it can't be classified as structure function. If it is not a poison, it can't be classified as a pharmaceutical.
Okay. Very informative. Thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.